Okay. Is this working?
Okay. All right. Hello, my name is Robin. I'm 18 years old. Today is December 4th, and I'm speaking with Mr. Furster, who is a teacher at my school. We are recording from Charlottesville, Virginia. And that's that. So I've noticed a lot of people can be really careless. Careless with feelings, actions, or whatever it may be. I personally think that carelessness is from a lack of structure and the development of empathy. Since you are into teaching, you would most likely be part of the process of creating structure in people's lives and teaching them not only their subjects, but also I think it is important that teachers provide students with an understanding of how life works and to teach them about deep thinking not only in their subjects, but allowing them to apply it to everyday life. With your line of work, have you ever thought of these things, and how would you think you would achieve these things? Has a teacher ever done that for you, and has it changed your life?
That's a good question.
I'll keep it like this.
Oh, cool. I guess for when thinking about teaching in general, there's a few schools of thought, right? You can focus just on the education side. What are we teaching? How can they learn it the fastest way? But the other side is, are our kids able to learn based on what's going on in their lives? Because if you are not focused, if you're not getting enough sleep, if you're not in a comfortable situation where you're able to learn, then nothing's going to happen, right? So I am very focused on the idea of making sure that there's a saying called the whole child, right? Mm-hmm. You're focusing on raising and guiding and mentoring young adults.
Yeah.
And even in elementary school and middle school, you're raising kids. So it's important to teach empathy. It's important to teach social skills, you know, even when it may be annoying to the kids to say please and thank you.
Yeah.
That's an everyday skill. You go into the movie theater, you want to buy a ticket, you say please, and you say thank you. I mean, it could go across any subject. History, you're learning empathy, you're learning about others. You need to be able to connect with people who are different from yourself. And that's huge.
Yeah, and so you're teaching English, aren't you?
I am. So I'm doing special ed.
Oh, that's even...
So I'm awesome. Doing collab English, so it's... co-teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a content teacher, there's a special ed teacher.
That's cool. I think that's really important because a lot of kids that are in special ed aren't necessarily like what people would think of,
right.
You know, special ed people. Sometimes it's just that even like just on a social aspect that they're not as developed as one kid should be. So they're put in, you know.
It's a wide range.
Yeah, it's a very wide range.
Everyone learns differently.
Yeah.
And it's important to go through and think, how do you learn? I think of the puzzle piece to represent autism, and I think that can represent autism, but it can represent pretty much everything. Finding that piece that fits, that you're figuring out how is the best way for someone to learn, the quickest way individualized for them, and that's vital. So I think everyone has needs,
yeah.
Not just, you know, those delineated as such.
Yeah, it can be really hard to meet the needs of each individual student, but
it can be.
You know, giving them the, you know, basic structures, I think, really important for the development not only of like young children but as young adults too.
Absolutely, there's, you know. It's our goal to make sure that everyone succeeds.
Yeah.
And whether that is, you know, presenting something in a different way, whether providing extra guidance, you know, we do whatever we can to make sure that everyone is able to learn.
Yeah.
Full equality for all.
Yeah.
Is our goal.
So have you ever had a teacher that has given you those needs that you, had, I guess?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think back to when I was in high school, I struggled with, I think it was geometry. It was some form of math.
I Dude, I like completely dropped math. Yeah, I couldn't do it.
I was awful. I'm still not great. For some reason it wouldn't click. Couldn't get it. But I was really into music. And I had a great relationship with my music teacher. And he did this basically like a history lesson, teaching about how music is math.
Oh yeah, that's what mine says too.
All right. He goes back to the Pythagoreans and he's like, oh yeah, those guys were the first people to make music. Oh. He's saying, you know, the first math form was musical notes. Oh, interesting. Started thinking about things a little differently. I got more interested.
Yeah.
And that's something that is key to learning is, you know, are you interested in this? If not, how can I get you interested?
Exactly. Like, obviously I'm in high school, so I have like a bunch of subjects that I'm learning. If I'm not interested in something, I'm just gonna kick back and clock out, you
right.
know?
and that's the toughest part
yeah.
of teaching is how can you make something that may be pretty dull,
yeah.
how can you make that interesting so that everyone's engaged, everyone's motivated, yeah. and that's tough.
Yeah.
So some teachers will try to, you know, get sort of this intrinsic motivation and say, oh, this relates to you in this way.
Yeah.
Or, you know, let me show you how this is relevant to the real world. I think it's important when talking about life skills. How is this going to affect you in the real world?
Yeah.
So if someone says, I never need to learn this, I'm never going to use this again. Coming up with specific examples when you are going to use that is huge.
Yeah, like you're not going to be buying like 50 watermelons, but maybe, you know, the time that you have to take to actually learn a subject that you're not interested in will teach you how to persevere and that yep. like even though it's tough.
Yep, absolutely. There's skills embedded in everything and it's difficult to see them all and to explain them all, but every plan is there for a purpose and it's that's the difficult part to do.
Yeah. What else have I wrote on here? So, let's see. What actually brought you to wanting to teach? Because I know that some people are like, why would you want to do that?
Right. It's a difficult job. It's a difficult field. But it's extremely rewarding. My entire family are teachers. And it's something I did not want to do until I was probably 24, maybe 23. And so I tried different career fields. I got my undergrad in international social justice. I love international relations and social issues. So I was thinking, oh, this is the perfect career. You know, I want to travel, I want to do all these fun things, I want to talk to people from different cultures, different backgrounds. So I moved out to Los Angeles and was just kind of figuring life out. And I needed a job because that's a tough field to find a job in when you're not working for the government or, you know, some nonprofit across the ocean.
Yeah.
So I got a job working as an instructional assistant in a special ed class. And it was a fourth grade class, and it was awesome. I hadn't really worked with that young a population, but it was enlightening. Totally different experience. And I was thinking, you know, maybe this is what I'm supposed to do. And so, of course, you know, you talk to your mentors. I talked to my parents, I talked to my old teachers. I worked at a summer camp, and I was talking to the director, and I said, you know, how did you know you wanted to teach? And they're like, you just know.
Yeah.
If, you know. So I went back to school, went to Curry here in Charlottesville.
What's going on, man?
And that's yeah. that so far.
Do you think, on like a comical note maybe, Do you think that your parents were just like, man, I'm just waiting for the day?
It's possible. It's definitely possible.
They're like, I saw it coming all along.
It's interesting, yeah. My dad teaches, my mom teaches. Both my grandparents taught. Aunts and uncles, cousins. I mean, it's, I think it's in the genes. But it's, yeah, it's true. It's not, it is a field that people will sometimes scoff at. Say, oh, yeah. That's cute. Your teacher.
Well, I think a lot of people, they associate payout with just money.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand that, yeah, I could be making a whole lot of money. I could go off and do all these things. I could become a doctor if I put my mind to it. Mm-hmm. But who's to say that it actually makes me feel as good, or I don't get to form a real relationship with, right, you know, my clients or whatever. Like, I want to be an EMT because that's, I great, want to help people. I want to be able to give people the opportunity to do the things that they want to do, even if it's just me responding to a call of, yeah, like, someone falling down the stairs.
Hugely,
like,
important.
You know, it's, there's so many, like, different things, like, to the puzzle, like you said, and I think being able to notice and reflect within yourself and give, like, I have this thing where I say that everyone is capable and deserving of kindness.
Absolutely.
And so not a lot of people understand that because they think, oh, well, this person's not kind to me, why am I kind to them?
Right.
And it's not so much so that they can have satisfaction, it's so that you don't let the hate that they give overcome you.
Right.
And so I just try to put that into my everyday life.
Yeah, no, I mean,
you know,
best advice I ever got was from my elementary school principal, who, he and my parents were good friends. They still are. So he kind of, he's like the ultimate Dumbledore figure.
Oh God, I love Dumbledore.
He's the coolest, kindest, wisest man.
Does he have the beard too?
He doesn't have the beard, but you know, he's tall, he's got gray hair, and he looks at you with such love.
Yeah.
And
talks to hobbits occasionally.
Talks, you know. He's, so he said, you know, in life there's three things that you have to do to be successful. Be kind. And so it always struck. It's like, oh yeah, that's simple, whatever. But as you grow up, you see, like, the way you treat people changes everything. And it goes back to what you were saying earlier about teaching or any job that has a focus on helping others, working with others. Nobody does it for the money.
Yeah.
That.
I mean, I've seen the news.
The news, yeah. I mean, think about teachers, even police officers,
yeah.
EMTs. These are jobs that you are really working for the benefit of others. And that's the reason people do it.
Yeah.
Because the payoff of working with others and connecting and, you know, that's more than, that's all you need. So it's important.
Do you think that a lot of issues within, like, not only schools, but, like, the world in general is because there's, like, a disconnect of communication?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think it's definitely possible. I mean, it's important to understand others. Cultural differences, any sort of background that is different from yours, I think causes some people to be scared and maybe xenophobic. They don't want to... They're scared of what they don't know, right?
Yeah.
That's the, in my opinion, the most common fear of people. It's the reason kids are scared of the dark. They don't know what's out there, right? We're scared of what we don't know. And when we don't know something, we push it away. So I think when those social issues come up in the world, it's because people don't know and they're not willing to find out. Or, you know, they're just bad people. But
yeah, there's always that. But I think it starts from somewhere. I don't think people are born bad. I think
No. It's,
like, definitely conditions within life. I mean, there's always that, like, nature versus nurture mm-hmm. thing. And if someone's going to do something, it's because it's within them to
right.
do it. I think that's, like, a cop-out. I think that, people can be more prone to certain things like mental health or, you know, drugs, which I think ties into mental health. Mm-hmm. But I think when people are faced with issues, I think it's very important to have someone that can teach them right from wrong and help them digest what is going on. Because, you sit in on the English classes and everything like that, right? So, I guess seeing students actually having to take information, whether it be like what we were just doing, the crucible, mm-hmm. or whatever, how they have to disconnect from the straight up story,
yep.
and look at it from a different point of view. Like, the straight up story is, oh my God, people are freaking out about witches. But I think the real underlying issues is that everybody is very selfish.
Yeah.
And so, like,
no, that's a good, yeah. that's a good takeaway.
I seem like I'm all over the place.
No, it's totally fine. Like, I think it's good. Yeah. Let's talk about the crucible. Cause it's a dull book.
Yeah.
And how, you know, why do we teach it? It's a great piece of writing. It's one of my favorite books.
Mm-hmm.
Plays, books, novels, whatever you want to call it. But how do you get, you know, I guess it's more high school, so, you know, students 14 to 18, how do you get them interested in a book that they see that does not relate to their lives anymore? So it's true, trying to find out, where does this tie in? Let's take a look. Let's not look exactly at 16, blah, 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 Salem. Let's talk about, where is this recently? Where are there people accusing others based on no evidence? How does this relate to your life? Have you ever been accused of something? Making real world connections and making it relevant. It's the only way to make it interesting.
Yeah.
Hold on, please.
You know, some people focus on the, you know, the witch aspect. It's like, oh, it's about witches. And that's the one thing they can remember.
How are you?
It could be about witches. Oh, it could be about communists.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
It always positive.
So you can use something and tie it into almost anything. I love bringing up movies and talking about movies that, you know, people like. And
people like to see more than they like to, you know, read, I guess, which is a part of
some people.
And I think that,
and I think that's fine, as long as you do both.
I got you.
Thank you.
So,
I got you.
If you read The Crucible,
that's Mr. Brady.
And see the movie, huge differences.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about interpretation.
Yeah.
When you see a movie, it's like as if the director is reading the book and you're watching his interpretation.
Oh yeah, I've never thought of it like that.
So, think about, I'm trying to think of a good example. What's a movie that's been remade a million times?
Spider-Man.
think about Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, yeah.
All right. It's probably 6 movie versions.
There's the one where it's like, they're like LA gangs.
Exactly.
You know, that one was crazy.
Actually. I don't remember who the author, the director was. It might have been Coppola. I don't know. But when they were, you know, reading the book and trying to make sense of it, they said, you know, this is kind of like 90s gang wars.
Yeah.
How can I tie that in? And so, this is possible. This isn't exactly what happened. Who knows? I haven't talked to the director. But maybe that was their initial idea, and they stuck with that as they were reading. And so that was the lens that they were looking through. There was Romeo and Juliet.
Oh my God.
Right? I didn't see it, but
it was good.
Basically figure out what it was about, right?
Yeah.
Different ways to interpret things. So it's important when reading and talking about any sort of subject, check your lens. What is your first impression, and is that what you're sticking to the entire time? Keep an open mind, right? Even you know, when you're reading the same book in a class, every student's going to interpret it differently. You'll get the same idea, but as you're reading, you're pulling in personal experiences, reflections, memories, and you're thinking, oh, yeah, I did that too, or I know someone who did that. And someone next to you is thinking, oh, I saw that in a movie once. You know, experiences kind of craft themselves into lenses and sort of affect the way you view something. And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier with, you know, social issues. If people are viewing, you know, an issue or a situation from a point of view that is purely their own, chances are they're not getting the full picture.
Yeah.
So it's vital to see and look and interpret from every point of view that you can, I think, in life.
Yeah. So, well, you're going to be working with children, most likely, mm-hmm. I assume, and especially in special ed, I think that allowing them or helping them to look at things differently than, because I think that special ed children are not just special ed, there's so many things. And but a lot of people, they look at special ed kids as, whoa, special ed, you know, it's like, for some reason it's so taboo, but it's so common, so it doesn't really make sense to me. But then special ed kids have this whole different perspective because it's like all the world is looking at you but not understanding. They think that special ed things are like point blank and that's what they are and that's all they'll ever be sometimes, which I think is cruel almost.
I think it's rooted in the past. I mean, it probably goes back to the Middle Ages. Even yeah. before that, anyone seen differently it goes back to the fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
I don't understand this, so I'm not gonna accept it.
Yeah, or I've never experienced this, so like.
And so I think that sort of internal struggle just sort of reverberated, and it's a terrifying history. That people can be closed-minded and scared of, or confused, or, you know, concerned about things that they don't understand. There's a great commercial that came out maybe a year or two ago, and it was a girl with Down syndrome, and she was talking about how she hated the term special needs. And she was listing off all these needs, like, you know, the right to be able to access education, the right to be able to walk up the stairs, the right to be able to get a job and keep it. Those aren't special needs, those are human needs, right? Everyone has needs. And some, need some assistance. Some have it. And it's a difficult subject. There's a saying, you know, you've met one person with autism, and you've met one person with autism. There's no, you can't lump, right?
Yeah.
Everyone is so different. And I think in our time now, it's gotten much better, and I think we're on the trend to sort of get rid of that stigma of special ed.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact number, but the amount of students and the amount of people who have received services is huge.
Yeah.
So, rather than making a sort of marginalized group them. It's really just a different type of instruction that works for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, there's like at Burley, there's the actual like Burley Middle School, and then there's the charter school under it, mm-hmm. where kids aren't necessarily, well, they're learning, obviously it's a school, but they're not learning the same way that the other part of the middle school is. They're learning things that are hands-on and that they are able to like actually manifest and like understand in their own way. I think it's more tailored towards like specific needs of right. specific children. And I think that's like really awesome all the
time. It's great. I mean, have you ever taken one of those, what is it called? It's like a multiple intelligences kind of test. They're all over the internet. But it'll say, you know, you're a auditory learner. You're a visual learner. You're a physical learner. Any sort of different way of getting instruction or learning about something. It's not validated, but there is some truth in it. I personally do much better when I hear something. If someone is explaining something to me rather than me reading it in a book, I'm more likely to retain it. A lot of people need to do something with it. So you can tell me how to throw a football, but I don't know how to do it until I try.
Yeah.
And that works for most everything, and that's the goal, and it's sort of embedded in school already.
Yeah.
We try to incorporate all of those different things. I think there's 6 different intelligences, and it's not a cognitive thing that we're planning. We're not saying, okay, I need to get all of these. It's naturally embedded just in our subconscious, in everyone, not just teachers.
Yeah.
There are multiple ways of learning something and doing something, and what is the most effective. It could be the same as guiding a toddler, like a sibling, someone you're babysitting. You have to guide in certain ways. Oh, they're not getting it this way, let's try this way. So it's a lot of trial and error, but it's vital. And so important.
Yeah. Do you think you've ever witnessed or like just heard about people that they look at someone and they're like, oh, they are this, so why should I even try to help them? Because I've been in a situation with sports, like you mentioned football, I used to play football.
Awesome.
But a lot of people looked at me at face value and said, oh, you're a girl, you're weaker. And so they would put less emphasis on my needs as a student athlete. Like, I may be weaker because I am a girl and I don't necessarily have the muscle that a guy would.
Gotcha.
But if I put more time into it, of course I can build that muscle. Right. And I would, and a lot of the times I was on the same page as all the other guys. Not anymore, but. So do you think that there are teachers that look at students like that? They're like, if I'm trying to do this so many times with them, they eventually get exhausted and they're like, I can't do it anymore. Like, it's not worth it almost.
I don't think any teacher would ever give up on a student. That's what teaching's all about. You try until you get it. And whether that takes an extra day, whether that takes an extra year, your goal is to achieve a goal and help student achieve their goal. So I don't think any teacher would ever give up. Outside of that, I think other people may. And that's, you know, that's their issue.
Yeah.
'Cause I mean, I can't pull up any specific examples, but there are people out there who are not as accepting and are not willing to accept differences in others. And that covers every aspect of life, race, gender, social class. I mean, it's a systemic issue, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And potentially a social issue. Oh, definitely a social issue.
Yeah.
But I think especially in the last few years, with all the different movements, we are becoming more accepting. And people who weren't listening are starting to listen. And that's huge. And that's your generation. So that's awesome.
Don't mean to flex, but yeah, I think that a lot with the older generations, because it was very taboo for a lot of things, not just, you know, like sexuality, but also like gender identity and tons of race stuff. There were like, it was just like, if they're just like, don't speak about it because nobody wants to know. And it's like, okay, nobody wants to know, but what if I'm not being represented the way that I should be? Like, for sexuality issues, like, yeah, nobody really needs to know, but why should I be treated differently or wrongly because, it's wrongly a word, but because this is how I feel towards another person. It's not like I'm shoving it down your throat or whatever. It's just like, that's what happens. And like with gender, like, I think people don't understand the term gender because, and I know there's like a lot of, you know, don't talk about it kind of stuff. But a lot of people confuse gender with sex, and I know that the whole world has confused that a lot, and there's actually like gender studies, actual scientists backing that gender is different from sex. Gender is something that exists within you and how you feel, and if people choose to bring that out into the open or change their physical appearance, a lot of people are uncomfortable because they're like, you're a girl, you should look like a girl, you should do girl things. Not everybody likes to meet that criteria, which they shouldn't have to. And, you know, with race stuff, it's still always going on, or even just different cultures and different races within the cultures. Even, like, within different races, there are racists to their own race. Like, I've seen so many, like, colorist things, which I don't really have to deal with because I'm white, and so I have a bit of, what's the word? Like, it just, I'm not affected that way, so I'm kind of ignorant a little bit to that, which, I mean, that's kind of like a big word, but I'm aware, but I don't have firsthand experience, basically.
I think it all comes back to accepting others based on who they are.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, a big point of growing up is being accepting and learning and asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't understand something, ask questions, right? And that starts from the day you're born, well, when you can start talking, but you're constantly receiving information and you're trying to make sense of it. What does this mean? Is this based on something I already know? But this differs, this contrasts with what I already know.
Yeah.
So how do I make sense of that? And I think that's what most people are doing subconsciously.
Yeah.
We're always trying to tie something to our personal experience.
Yeah.
So that's the way we retain memory, right? We learn something new, we tie it to something we already know. And I think it's guidance, and I think starting, you know, from when you're really young, you do need someone to guide you. And the unfortunate thing is not everyone has that.
Yeah.
Not to say that people are inherently bad, like you said. But there are things that are needed to be taught and learned, whether implicitly or not. How to be open, how to be accepting, and it's difficult.
Yeah.
But I think it's vital.
Yeah.
Totally vital. So as teachers, as parents, as leaders, mentors, friends, family. I'm doing an interview.
Oh,
that's okay.
Sorry, I'm taking a lot of your time.
No, it's totally fine. It's important to, oh, I lost my train of thought, but regardless, it's guidance. Having someone to bounce questions off of.
Yeah.
And for those who don't have family that they can do that with, I think friends can do that. I think teachers can do that. I think mentors can do that. At least for me, the goal of teaching is not just to pass.
Yeah.
You are trying to raise good, bright, caring thinkers who are ready to tackle the problems that are coming up.
Right.
Or have always been there. Because if the problems have stayed, then something, we haven't been doing something right. So it's important to focus on background before pushing your own agenda, I think.
Yeah. I think that a lot of it starts with how people are raised, and on the good spectrum of things, there's parents who teach their children certain things, like the golden rule, or I was raised very Catholic, no longer Catholic, but I was raised like that, and so my Nona, which is my grandma, she taught all of her grandchildren, all like 60 billion of them, that the golden rule is that you treat people how you would like to be treated, yep. And even if someone is treating you badly, like I said before, you should still be kind to them, because maybe people aren't kind to them at home. And so I think being raised with that, it allowed me to be able to like look back and be like, well, I'm angry right now and you're making me upset, but should I let you see those things, and should I project the feelings that I feel inside because of how you made me feel onto you again, and just have it go back and forth? And on the opposite spectrum, there are a lot of kids that have to learn that for themselves because of the issues within the home.
Exactly.
And my mother also, like, she was on that bad spectrum, and so she instilled into me, because I had a bad life, you will not have a bad life. And it has been difficult. There's been bumps in the road, and like, don't get me wrong, like there's been like there's always, I think it's so easy, and like the amount of how common abuse is in homes is redonkulous.
Yeah.
And I think that forgiveness and understanding is very important when going through grief with your feelings like that, because people always think that grief is just like for death and stuff like that, and of course it is, and it should always be, but it can also be like things that are lost, like the common thing with teenagers is, you know, the loss of like being able to be ignorant in a certain way. They can't handle it.
Right.
And so they go through that bratty phase of like acting out all the time, and I think that's what it is. But I don't know where I was going with that, but I think it's like super important that your kids get the structure that they need even before going into school. Like even though my mom regrets it now, she always taught me that you should say how you feel, and if someone makes you upset, like don't be hateful, mm-hmm. but defend yourself.
Yeah. There, you know, everyone's background is different.
Mm-hmm.
And it is super, 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 super important to recognize that, respect that, and to consider that when moving in any direction, any decision that you make. We don't know everything. And when you talk to someone, you don't know what their background is. They may not be willing to share, and that's totally fine. So it's a matter of respect in that sense, kindness, going back to that. That being said, if someone is treating you poorly, I agree, you should absolutely defend yourself. in a way that is constructive. Letting someone know why, that's not okay.
Yeah.
I think some people resort to screaming and yelling and fighting and punching. And it's really important that people speak their minds. Explaining, you know, like I said, why this is wrong, why that action should have been done differently, and if possible, what would have been the better way to do it?
Yeah.
If someone pushes you because they're trying to get your attention, say, you know, I didn't like that because it made me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, next time you want to get my attention, I'd appreciate it if you, you know, called my name, tap me on the shoulder, right? And I think that's humans.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it really does all come back to kindness and being kind. And I think being kind is not just the golden rule.
Yeah.
And it's not just, you know, worrying about, or, you know, it's about understanding and respecting that we don't have the answers, always.
Yeah.
But being willing to learn and being open. I think that all comes down to kindness and how you conduct yourself. And really the way the world, in an ideal world, would go.
Yeah. I'm glad that you're able to take all the things that I say and actually understand them.
Yeah.
Because I like fly all over the place when I speak.
It's okay.
So... how do you feel about the conversation, I guess, since we're getting close to that 45?
Good, good, yeah. Yeah, I hope I was able to answer some questions and hopefully I didn't ramble too much or be too vague.
I think I was the one who was rambling. Sometimes I didn't even, like, say questions. You're just like, okay, yeah.
No, it's okay. That's conversation.
Yeah.
You gotta listen. That's how we learn. So what, I'm curious about the assignment. How are you gonna use?
I'm not actually sure because all that she's really been doing is in class is like asking, oh, how did it go? And then, but like we have to submit it by the time it's done.
Gotcha.
I don't think we send it to her, but I don't think I can fit 45 minutes on my phone.
So, gotcha.
I think we just say like how it's going and how we feel about it. And it's like,
is there a certain focus that you guys needed to...
I have no idea. She was just like, think of an interview. At first, she wanted me to interview my 5-year-old sister.
Oh, right.
And she won't sit down and do anything. And she barely, like... we thought she was nonverbal for a very long time. But turns out she's just very picky and particular, my mom likes to call it.
Well, it's a good skill to practice interviews and, you know, be on the spot.
Yeah.
Because it's... it's something you'll, tying back to real life skills, right?
Yeah.
When you go into an interview for a job, it's scary and intimidating,
yeah,
but
I get
it's
the
honest.
Shakes.
Yeah,
I'm an anxious
it's totally
person.
Natural. I mean, you don't always have time to think, but I think that keeps you honest.
Yeah.
In a way, may not be comfortable, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a life skill and conducting yourself professionally and, you know, that all goes back to kindness.
Yeah.
Right? You want the job, you gotta be kind.
Gosh. That's what makes me, like, super anxious because, I mean, I know, not to, like, boast, but I know that I'm a kind person. But I'm also a very sarcastic and comical person, so like
that's a good quality.
It doesn't always match up.
No, that's a good thing. I mean, keeping a sense of humor is what we need. It's the only way to get through some things.
Yeah.
Some events and things happen that are tough to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes comedy is the best way to get through it.
Oh yeah, laughing through the pain.
Right. If you can't laugh about it, then. I mean, of course, it depends on the issue, but I think being open. And it's another lens, right, to look at something, like we were talking about earlier. Try looking at it through a comical lens. Yeah. Why is this funny? Maybe it's not. But, you know, at least we're seeing things in different perspectives.